program is sponsored by the members of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. In August of 1935, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt signed the Social Security Act into law. To commemorate the 50th anniversary of Social Security, we are pleased to present this fireside chat on Social Security and Medicare by James Roosevelt, the oldest son of President Roosevelt.
My father regarded Social Security as one of the most important and far-reaching achievements of his presidency. Here is what he said to the nation when he signed the Social Security Act into law 50 years ago.
This Social Security measure gives at least some protection to 30 millions of our citizens who will reap direct benefits through unemployment compensation, through old age pensions, and through increased services for the protection of children and the prevention of ill health.
This year marks the 20th anniversary of Medicare and the 50th anniversary of Social Security. The Social Security program and the Medicare program, which it inspired, have served our people well. There are presently 25 million Americans over the age of 65 who receive Social Security and Medicare benefits. Millions of younger Americans also qualify for certain Social Security and Medicare benefits. And every working American invests his and her hard-earned dollars into Social Security and Medicare every time a paycheck is drawn. My father believed that government had a solemn obligation to guarantee these benefits to the people who have paid for them. But that guarantee has been seriously compromised by the actions of some of our representatives in Washington. I organized the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare so that we would have an effective political organization working full-time in Washington to protect our benefits. Just recently, the administration attempted to push a proposal through Congress which would have cut our Social Security benefits by $22 billion over the next 3 years. Under this plan, our cost of living increases and Social Security benefits would be frozen for 3 years, and inflation would eat away at our benefits. In response to this crisis, the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare organized one of the largest petition drives in our nation's history. On July 9th of this year, I held a news conference in Washington, D.C., and delivered 2 million petitions weighing 6 tons to the Congress of the United States, calling for no cuts in Social Security benefits. Just 3 hours later, President Reagan met with congressional leaders, and they announced that our Social Security cost of living increases would not be cut in this year's federal budget. This represents a great victory in our continuing battle to preserve these Social Security and Medicare benefits. But the federal budget remains unbalanced, and many of our most important benefits are still under attack. Congressional leaders have informed us that there will be another serious attempt next year to freeze our Social Security cost of living increases. And Congress is still considering proposals which would cut Medicare by $16 billion or more over the next 3 years, in a desperate attempt to reduce the federal deficit. Now, I'm for reducing the federal deficit, but Social Security and Medicare did not create the federal deficit. They are self-supporting programs which have been financed by the tens of millions of our citizens who have paid their hard-earned dollars into these programs during their long working years. And any proposal which seeks to balance the federal budget on the backs of Social Security and Medicare beneficiaries is fundamentally unfair. In fact, the president's own budget shows that the Social Security Fund will take in $168 billion more than it spends over the next 5 years, and the Medicare Fund will grow to more than $80 billion. But some politicians continue to finance the deficits caused by other government programs by using Social Security surplus funds. And then they tell us that our Social Security and Medicare benefits must be cut to balance the present budget. This short-sighted and unfair attitude toward Social Security and Medicare by many national leaders has already taken a severe toll. Social Security benefits have already been cut three times in the last 9 years, and Medicare benefits have declined three times since 1981. Social Security payments are being taxed for the first time in history. Leaders of both political parties in Congress have announced plans to increase taxes on Social Security benefits for millions of Americans, and a recent report by the Congressional Budget Office set forth ways to tax Medicare benefits as well. Looking at the record, I think it's fair to say that the threats to Social Security and Medicare have never been more severe. It will require constant pressure on our elected officials by all of us who depend on Social Security and Medicare, or who are going to protect our benefits from drastic cuts. That is why I strongly urge you to join as a member of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare today. The National Committee is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization. We receive absolutely no funds from the government or from corporations or from special interest groups of any kind. We maintain a full-time national headquarters in Washington, D.C., and our professional staff works with senators and congressmen on issues which affect Social Security and Medicare benefits. The costs of airing this nationwide broadcast and all of our work in Washington have been paid for by the voluntary contributions and dues of our members. And I'm extremely proud to say to you that although the National Committee has been in existence for only 2 years, more than 1,200,000 people have joined as dues-paying members. To those of you in the listening audience who are members of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare, I would like to thank you personally for your generous support of our cause. Without your help, this broadcast would not have been possible. If you would like to become a member of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare, or if you want further information, please pick up a pencil and write down our address. The National Committee, 1300 19th Street Northwest, Washington, D.C. The zip 20036. This address will be repeated later in the program. Now, I've spoken a great deal about the serious threats and problems which face Social Security and Medicare. So now I'd like to suggest some of the things that we can do to solve these problems and overcome these dangerous threats. My father established Social Security as a self-supporting trust fund. Unfortunately, it was changed several years later. We must permanently remove Social Security and Medicare benefits from the politics of deficit reduction. Specific measures to accomplish this have been introduced in the Congress. We must and will fight for them. Neither Social Security nor Medicare has contributed in any way to our national debt, and any attempt to balance the budget by cutting benefits is a violation by our government of a national trust. In order to permanently protect Social Security and Medicare benefits from the budget cutters in Washington, those of us who are entitled to these benefits must be organized. Without strong, effective citizens' organizations, like the National Committee, to fight for our interests, Social Security and Medicare benefits will undoubtedly be slashed, while programs which benefit powerful special interest groups will remain untouched. We must be prepared to take immediate action whenever our Social Security and Medicare benefits are threatened. Over the last 2 years, members of your National Committee have sent more than 5 million letters, petitions, and postcards to congressmen, senators, and the president, reminding them of our national commitment to Social Security and Medicare. As a result, many serious attempts to cut Social Security and Medicare benefits and proposals to increase the cost of Medicare premiums were defeated. But the threats facing Social Security and Medicare now are more serious than ever before. So I urge you to write a letter to your congressman, your United States senator, and yes, even to the president himself. In your letter, you should respectfully but firmly ask for the defeat of any proposed cuts in Social Security and Medicare benefits. My friends, remind the president of his campaign promise never to cut Social Security benefits, and ask him to oppose cutbacks in our cost of living increases when the issue comes before Congress again next year. Tell your elected representative about the many ways in which cutbacks in your benefits will affect you personally. Let them know how a freeze in your Social Security benefits or an increase in your Medicare premiums would affect your budget for food, clothes, rent, mortgage payments, or the budget of a relative or a friend who depends on Social Security and Medicare. Remind them that you take this issue very seriously and that their actions will greatly influence your vote in the next election. I urge you to write at least one of these letters at the conclusion of this program. My friends, I served in the Congress of the United States for 11 years. Let me assure you that your letter will be extremely effective in protecting the benefits we've all earned and paid for. I would like to conclude this broadcast with a message from my father, recorded during a fireside chat commemorating the third anniversary of Social Security in 1938.
We have come a long way, but we still have a long way to go. There is still today a frontier that remains unconquered, and America unreclaimed. This is the great, the nationwide frontier of insecurity, of human want and human fear. This is the frontier, the America, that we have set ourselves to reclaim.
50 years of Social Security and 20 years of Medicare have allowed our nation to make great strides in reclaiming the frontier my father spoke of so eloquently. Today, Americans can look forward to a healthier and more prosperous retirement than at any other time in our history. It is up to us to preserve Social Security and Medicare so that these benefits may be enjoyed not just by us, but by future generations. I look forward to working with you in this vitally important cause. Thank you for letting me visit with you.
Your generous financial support made it possible for your National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare to broadcast this fireside chat by James Roosevelt on more than 300 radio stations throughout the country. Thousands of your fellow citizens heard this broadcast and wrote to their representatives in Congress demanding the defeat of proposals to cut Social Security and Medicare. A proposed freeze in 1986 Social Security cost of living adjustments was stopped, and many other proposed cutbacks in benefits have been stalled. Right now, Congress is preparing to set its agenda for 1986, and there will be many new proposals to slash Social Security and Medicare benefits. Once again, we must rally our forces and defeat these benefit cuts. Your National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare plans to broadcast a new fireside chat during the week of January 6th. You can help buy the radio time to broadcast this new fireside chat throughout the nation by writing a check for $10, $15, $20 or more, made payable to the National Committee. You may return your check in the postage-free envelope which accompanies this record, or mail it to the National Committee, 1300 19th Street Northwest, Washington, D.C., 20036. Please do your part. Send your contribution of $10, $15, or $20 to put our new fireside chat on the air. On behalf of James Roosevelt and your National Committee, thank you for your continuing support.